playing. Hey, no, I'm gonna quit playing. Hey everybody, welcome to the Conflicts of Life. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Let me say up front, I am so glad that I stick to my philosophy of not picking particular teams in football, because if I did and I would have picked the Seattle Seahawks right about now, I probably won't be on the air. I'll probably be flipping tables and throwing bottles upside somebody's head and getting angry and beating bet $5,000 and lost $5,000 that I couldn't afford to give away. And so then I'm in a brawl with somebody. Something bad would have happened if I would have been a Seattle Seahawker. So all you Seattle Seahawkers, I feel your pain. I don't know what in the freaking frack heck was wrong with y'all head coach. But we
I'm proud of y'all Seattle Seahawks. I was cheering for y'all. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I was sure cheering for y'all yesterday. I'm proud of y'all, and I'm a little upset that you threw the ball. Why did you throw it? Why didn't
you
hand
know,
it
the fabulous Miss Jackie. Miss Jackie, I don't know what in the freaking frack heck happened. You have the number one most powerful running back who has scored the most touchdowns in the NFL season, just a few feet away from you winning the Super Bowl, and you decide to throw the ball instead of just give it to him, let him walk in, and you have won. I don't understand that, but oh well. Again, my emotions are intact. I'm sorry if you're a Seahawks fan and your emotions are not intact. I feel your pain. But Ms. Jackie, welcome to the show today. What's happening, player?
What's up, people? What is up? Happy Monday. Happy Monday.
Yeah. Well, let's see how happy it is, because today's show is not a happy one. Today we are talking about, I lost my job, now what? Wow.
Well, that could be a blessing. That could be a blessing.
Well, I'm okay. You know what? I'm glad you're optimistic about it. Great. Okay, so then here's what we're going to do, everybody. We're going to do this then. Jackie says it's a blessing. Let's see how much of a blessing it's going to be. Let's get these announcements out the way, and let's get started with today's show. First of all, thank you, everybody, for listening to us. And we are easy to get in contact with. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page, which is The Conflicts of Life, and also you can hit us up on our Gmail, which is theconflictsoflife@gmail.com. That's the two simple ways to reach out to us, touch base with us, and tell us what's on your mind. All right, let's get on into today's show. Today, again, we're talking about I lost my job, now what? Jackie, why you say it could be a blessing? I want to hear this from myself.
Well, you know, I've never experienced that. But I have listened to a couple of seminars from people who started their new business because they lost a job. And I was listening to one, and the lady said, she was talking about when they were getting laid off and they were all in the office. And we got feedback going on. And one of the things she was saying was she was, when it came to her turn to walk up to the, you know, the person that, you know, was announcing that y'all was going to get laid off, here's your packages. She was the last one that went up to her, and she was crying. And, you know, the person was a little nervous because, you know, hey, you done laid off some people, so you don't know what's going to happen. And she went up to her, and she says, I just want to say thank you. And, I mean, that shocked the lady. She's like, thank you. She says, yes, because I knew I needed to make a change. I knew I needed to do something. But I knew that unless, you know, something was to happen, I didn't have it in me to leave it. This job was going to do until death do us part. This, I thank you for this. And, you know, she went on.
Wow.
It just so happened. A few months later, her husband was diagnosed with cancer. About a year or two later, he passed away. And, you know, after that, of course, she was grieving and going through and, you know, and part of her process of healing and grieving, you know, there were some things she had already, it had been on her heart to do way before this, you know, when she had the 9-to-5. And God spoke to her at that time and she was now in the position. You know, she didn't, she was, you know, she was laid off. She wasn't working. You know, she had lost her husband. She had been through some stuff. And she started a small group, small intimate group, you know, nothing big, nothing major. And speaking from her pain and speaking from the things she's learned. And it just grew and it grew and it grew into her business. Another lady that I was looking at, she was laid off. And she knew she wanted to, she knew she needed to walk away from her job. She knew it. Most of us do. Most of us who have a dream or a passion know we need to walk away from the job, but we're scared to leave that 9-to-5 paycheck, that guaranteed paycheck. A lot of people are. They're scared. So sometimes, sometimes he'll put you in a position where you don't have no other choice. She has a successful baking business. She has a successful baking business.
So here's
and,
my thing.
Go ahead.
I think that it can be because I remember I had my first business, which took me from being an average Joe to hitting multimillionaire status. It was because of a bad situation, and that bad situation had caused me to desire more out of life. And I think here's the key to you succeeding. I think the key to succeeding is knowing how to utilize your time wisely and reinvest back into yourself, you know, so that, you know, you're not dependent on other people to make your ends meet. You create a means to your ends. And so I think the issue is, the question is this, is that if you had, because you said something very key, Jackie. You said that they already had something in mind that they wanted to do, but they just didn't act on it, and now that the unfortunate has happened, now they are acting on it. But I think that a lot of times we don't have a secondary idea of what we want to do. So when we lose our job, the first thing is, let me hurry up and get another one so I can continue that comfort check. But I think if you actually had an idea of something that you wanted to do, then this would be perfect for you. What do you think?
I would agree. I'm serious. I tell people all the time. It's really how you look at your storm. If you choose to look at your storm as something devastating, it's scary, yes. It's a very scary thing. Because how are you going to feed your family? We use it as a security blanket. And I often tell people at the job, y'all put a lot of faith in your boss. You put a lot of faith in the company. And at the end of the day, really, God is the ultimate boss.
Come on,
and
if you
put him first, regardless of who your boss is, regardless of what the company is, and regardless of what your situation is, if you know who takes care of you, you know who provides for you. See, the job is a vessel. It's a vessel in which he lets you get your provision. He is the employer of all. You know, when my girlfriend, I never gave my sister called me, and she was crying. She was crying, and she was like, I got fired, da, da, da. And after she cried for a few minutes, I said, but honey, you just told me just last week how much you hated the job and how you wanted to leave. So God heard you. I said, so what you need to do, you know, go through the process, stop panicking, and find something that you really enjoy doing, which was the same line of work. She just wanted a better company. And not only did she get a better company, but she changed her whole life around. She walked away from a marriage, located to a new city, and is living life. I mean, it was scary. She was married, two boys. You know, you're talking about not just changing jobs and moving. You change cities. You change your marriage status. You change everything that you didn't like about your life. And she's happy. I'm not saying it wasn't a struggle. I'm not saying it wasn't a progress. But if we just... It's this is what I'm saying. Most of us know. Most of us, there is something in us. But because we don't get quiet enough, because we get so consumed with day-to-day, taking care of ins and outs, we lose our true selves. And sometimes God sits you down. I have a good girlfriend who had breast cancer. And through her breast cancer, I never forget when I told her this, I said, I believe God is trying to tell you something. He's been tapping you on the shoulder, but you haven't quite heard him. So this time he sat you down. She ended up being a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show because she was I don't know her title of Indicare, but they raised enough money to build a home for a family, so that ended up on the Oprah Show as a guest, not in the audience, but on stage. She wrote some poetry, which was published. She now is the owner of her own business. She left Kindercare, which was a $1 billion company when she had it, when she was there. She walked away from that after 30-some years. And she struggled owning her own business. And, I mean, she went through trials and tribulations. And, I mean, it was some tearful nights and marriages, you know, was pushed to the edge.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, true, losing your job is devastating. But how you look at it, if you can dance through your storm and know God has you, he hasn't left you or forsaken you. And if you could just calm that fear down enough to hear and see what he has for you, it could be a blessing. What you thought is a closed door could be an open window.
And I agree. And here's what I want to say, you know, because not everybody may be an entrepreneur, you know, because it does happen like that, that oftentimes in your worst and darkest hour, it actually is an opportunity closed. You know what? Let me say this real quick to everybody. One of the reasons why we don't move ahead like we normally should is because oftentimes we see opposition as an obstacle as opposed to many who are seeking an opportunity saying, hey, this is an opportunity. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Let me make it more simple. A lot of your opportunities were closed. Okay, watch what I'm saying. A lot of your opportunities wear a particular type of clothing. And the type of style that opportunity wears is very unattractive. And the reason why it's like that is because if opportunity always dressed very sexy, then everybody would want to date opportunity. But opportunity is hard to keep. Opportunity requires a lot of attention. And so what opportunity does to eliminate those who are not good suitors, we'll say, opportunity will actually clothe itself with negative clothes. In other words, what looks like opposition to one person can look like a great opportunity to another. I'll give you an example. I was just listening to a very famous speaker talk, and he said that in some cultures, like in the Japanese culture, when 9/11 hit, we all called it a crisis. Okay, watch what I'm saying. We called it a crisis. The stock market plunged because a lot of people sold all their stock, and the world is coming to an end. But in another culture, in an Asian culture, they don't have a word for catastrophe, let's just say. They see it as an opportunity. So when they see it as an opportunity, while everybody in the U.S. was just selling their hats off during the 9/11 crisis, the smart, savvy investor said, hey, this crisis won't last, and this price is cheap. This is an opportunity. And this is now one of the reasons why China and Japan own so many of our companies here in the U.S. Because during that crisis that we were screaming and just throwing our wigs down the street saying, hey, this is a crisis, this is a crisis, other countries were saying, hey, this is a temporary crisis, but it's also an opportunity. And they cashed in and made the investments. And now that the country is back strong again, guess who's profitable and guess who's not? Because it all depends on your perspective of your situation, like Jackie just said. So oftentimes now, I'm in total agreement. Many times when I'm in a crisis situation, I feel the need to get quiet. And let me really see if this is really a crisis or is it opportunity wearing dirty clothes, looking bummy. And if I can identify between the two, then quite often I can capitalize on what would normal, in normal people's opinion, would be a crisis. But in my opinion, hey, this is a great opportunity. And here's another reason why it's a great opportunity. Because while everybody else is turning away, that means you have very few people who's paying attention to the opportunity that you see. So that'll eliminate your competition for the marketplace of where you're trying to get your market share and what you're trying to do. So again, just be mindful that opportunity oftentimes wear dirty clothes called crisis. All right, Jackie, let's get to some questions. You ready to answer some of these questions? You know they got some questions that came in.
Okay, I will do my best. You did good. That was wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right, here we go. This one says, I lost my job on Friday, and I haven't told my wife yet. She is 7 months pregnant, and I know if I tell her that she will panic and probably put our child's life at risk. So I went out of the door this morning as if I still had a job. What's the best way to break the news to her? Jackie, I'm going to hand that ball to you. That's a good one for you. That's a woman, though. How to address a woman question.
Well, I can understand where he's coming from, you know, the stress and the strain. But if you can come together, you know, I always say two heads are better than one. And you never know. She may have the answer for you. She may say, baby, you know, I'm just using examples. She may say, baby, you know, let's just live off the savings or a 401k, or maybe we can borrow some money from, you know, a family member to get us through for a few months until you can get a job. Now, we ain't talking about somebody carrying you for a year or 6 months. But you're looking for, you know, maybe something to hold you over for the, you know, for a few months,
right,
until you can get up on your feet. But to carry it all on yourself, I mean, if you can come up with a solution by yourself, you know, if you can, go for that first. But I would say eventually if you keep it to yourself and you don't have the conversation and you can't come up with a solution, I think you're going to make it a little worse than what it is. You know what I'm saying? Share it with them. You know, just, you know, do what you can. See if you can work it out yourself. Maybe you can go to a relative yourself and say, hey, you know, I don't want to go to Samantha with this right now because, you know, I don't want to stress her the baby out. You know, so, you know, if you could just please, if there's something you could help me out with to help me out through the next few months, you know, I could pay you. However, if you could do that on your own, do that.
Yep.
But eventually do tell her. But eventually do tell her, you know what I'm saying? Because it is a team, and I get it that you don't want to stress her out. So, like I said, if you could do it for a few months, do it for a few months, you know?
Yeah, well, let me tell you like this here, player. Brother, I understand exactly where you're coming from, okay? I get it. You don't want, you know, here's the deal. What happens is with us as men, we are in the business of trying to make sure that we please our wife at all times. We want to play like we're the superhero. We don't want your baby. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm Big Daddy, and I got my cape on. Don't worry about it. It's all gravy, baby. But the problem is that we don't know how to express our feelings when we don't have it all together. So the best thing that we do is lie and pretend. We do it all the time. Lie and pretend. Lie and pretend. The problem with lying and pretending like you got it all together is what you just said, that oftentimes you're closing yourself off to answers that she may possess as your teammate. So what would I suggest? All right, here's the truth. I would suggest what you're doing now, brother. Hold off for a few days until you find the right way to express it. And then eventually you're going to have to go in the house and tell her the truth. In the meantime, because I'm helping you save your pride, okay? I know how it is. If I was in your shoes, brother, I wouldn't be rushing in myself to just say, hey, baby, I lost my job today. Oh, my God. No, I feel you, brother. So here's what I would suggest you do. You know, I know you're leaving out in the morning. One of the best things you can do if possible is try to land you a couple of interviews or even another job. But even if you can't find another job, land you a couple of interviews and then tell her. So here's what I'm saying to you, which we do quite often. When a crisis hits, the only time we typically will open our mouth to you and as women and let you know is if we feel like, okay, I got an adequate replacement answer so that you don't have to worry. And it's just done out of love. Now, you may say that's stupid, but okay, that's fine. We'll take that. But generally, we're just doing it out of love because we love you so much. We want you to always look at us as your hero and not a failure. So here's what I was saying, man, or whoever you are. I would line myself up with another job, a couple of job interviews, and then walk in the house and say, hey, babe, let me just tell you the truth. But either way it goes, she deserves the truth. Because again, while you're working on that, chances are she may have a different answer and a different perspective and say, baby, you know what? I know you've been wanting to start this business all this time. Why don't we just go ahead and do that instead of you constantly getting on these jobs where they have the ability to just cut you loose. So either way it goes, she's going to go through her emotional panic, go through it with her. You know, you're already going through it anyway. Share the feelings and then talk. Jackie, what you think about that?
Agreed. Just share it. I mean, the concern is wonderful. I get it. And I mean, unless it's one of the high risk pregnancies, you gotta be tiptoeing around, you know, blood pressure real up, you know, swelling. Unless it's one of those extreme high risk pregnancies,
Yeah, right.
I would go that route, Pastor. Well, if you got that situation on your hand, and try to figure it out, you know, the best way you can till that baby gets here. You know, because sometimes, you know, if you're in an extreme type pregnancy, anything can set anything off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at this next one. I went to work and found out that they let me and many of my coworkers go today. I am 57 years old. I've been doing mechanics work since I was a teenager. I don't have computer skills like the other younger people, and most jobs won't hire older people like me. Add to that, I am too young to collect my Social Security benefits. I am afraid. Jackie,
this is a good one. I happen to know a gentleman who's 59 years old, and he just got his license to be a mechanic.
Wow.
And, yeah, I know a gentleman who's 59 years old. While he was going to school to do it, get his mechanics license, he was actually doing security work at night. So he'd go to school during the day. And he actually was saving up some money. What he wants to do is be a mobile mechanic. He comes to you.
Wow, okay. Okay.
It's funny. It's funny that happened like that because I'm like, wow, I know a guy that's 59.
Wow, okay. That's what's up. So what we can recommend to him is instead of concerning yourself about trying to find a new career path, keep the skills that you have and instead rent yourself out, you know? That's a good one.
Everybody
needs
a mechanic. Who do you not know you that need a mechanic?
Everybody need a mechanic. Everybody need a mechanic. Matter of fact, heck, I need one right now. You know what I did 7:30? 7:30 this morning, I was texting my mechanic saying, hey, man, I need this car fixed up over here. Everybody need a mechanic.
That's a skill set that you can use. You don't. That's a skill set that's usable. It's like being a beautician, a barber. You know, there's certain skill sets. There's certain skill sets that you can. I don't care what the economy doing. People drive cars. People need mechanics.
Yep. Girl, are you smart? That shows the truth. Wow. That is the truth. All you got to do is take you out of Craigslist ad or something and just let people know, hey, I'm available if you need your car fixed. And then just let them know, hey, I've been a mechanic for X amount of years. I've worked on all kind of cars. So if you need a mechanic who will come to you, that's the key.
That's right.
I'm willing to come to you, and I have very, very reasonable cheap prices, and I can get your car fixed the same day.
Mm-hmm. And what you said, people word about travels. People, a good mechanic will pass word. Hold on, I got a good. You need a mechanic? Hold on, let me give you homeboy's phone number right here. I got somebody for you. Word about travels.
It sure do. And you be having so much business that you can't handle it, brother. Look at that. See what happens? Now that's what I'm talking about, Jackie. Now that's what I'm talking about. See what happens when you come on this show and listen? You got a blessing. Well, guess what? Everybody, I thank you so much for joining us today. Jackie, you was on fire today. I sure appreciate you. Girl, that was a good
one. So were you.
Mobile mechanic. How about that? Hey. All right. Well, anyway, check this out, everybody. I'm going to play one of my old school beats, instrumental. This is old Will Smith. Y'all don't remember this. I know it's cold outside, but we're going to play a little summertime. Peace and
summertime.
Everybody. Hey.
Be blessed, family.